Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Friends, whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. You can check more about how we are church together in your bulletin. You'll see announcements and also information about worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. If you have any questions, don't hesitate. After worship, there'll be an elder standing at the communion table to receive any of those questions. So a few announcements that I have this morning, if you did not notice, and they're starting to trickle in right now. Our youth, today is Wheel-a-thon Day. You still can get those last pledges in. See one of the youth, they've got those envelopes, and this goes to support mission here at GPC. Also, seniors who are going to Jamaica in February, our first orientation is coming up October 15th. Please be there. Also, a note from the mission team, St. Joseph's House of Hospitality. Our time to serve is right around the corner. You have an opportunity to help serve the food, cook the food, and also bring in some food donations. Sign-ups are on the kiosk. And there is another announcement from our worship team this morning.
Good morning. Chris Ullman here for the worship team. I would just like to draw your attention to the announcement printed in the bulletin this morning about the worship team. We will be meeting this Tuesday night, and we would love to see new faces. We invite anyone who might be interested to join us in person on Tuesday here at church in the adult lounge to learn more. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. A note about worship this morning. Today is World Communion Sunday. It is also the Sunday that we receive the peacemaking offering. More about that offering and an envelope are in your bulletin. Also, please take a moment right now, if you would like, to take a look at the order of service. It is a bit different today. For worship this morning, we are going to be taking what is called the Great Prayer of Thanksgiving, the prayer that leads up to our celebration of the sacrament. And instead of just putting that in the middle of the service, it's going to be the whole service. So we are going to use this time to reflect on that prayer and that gathering as it appears throughout the entire service. There are some extra musical pieces in there. We'll do our best to kind of walk through those. And also some call and response, and Roy and John will help us with that as well. So in order for us, indeed, to begin the great prayer of Thanksgiving, we don't do that from the pulpit. We do that from the table. So friends, to the one to whom we turn our lives over, has invited us to this table. So whoever you are and however you feel, for whatever reasons you are here, come to the feast. Whatever your condition, whatever brokenness and hurts you bear, know that it is our host who is the one who teaches, the one who heals, and the one who welcomes. Our Savior invites all those to trust him and to share this feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. They recognized him. Let us worship God. will come from east and west,
and from north and south,
and sit at the table in the kingdom of God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks, Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise. Let us join our hearts, our minds, our words, our bodies together in the litany prayer of confession. Great and wonderful God of creation, we are grateful for the covenants of grace you have always offered your people. We admit we have fallen short in loving you and others. The breads on the table are symbols of the many different peoples within your family. This morning, we break the bread of Palestine and Israel. We confess and hide behind our unwillingness to hear the stories of those lost. And we break the bread of Africa. and the abuse of creation and people in this place for our purchase of unsustainable goods. And we break the bread of Jamaica. We break the bread of Guatemala. We break the bread of Rochester. We break the bread of the world to be a people gathered around the table who celebrate your grace in our global community. Remain the glad and faithful people of God until we feast with Him in glory. At this time, the children are invited to come forward. Good morning. We're going to come to this side today. I know, a little different, shorter commute for you. Good morning and welcome. I'm so glad you're here. Hi. Good morning. Let's have a seat. Good morning. That's such a good smile. Good morning. Good morning. So, we're in a little different spot this morning. Maybe it's because I need to tell you guys a secret. Can you keep a secret for me, do you think? Nope. All right. At least I've got some honest ones. All right. All right. Just do your best. Just do your best. Okay. So, when I was a kid, do you know which part of church I didn't like it all? Nope. I liked the sermon. This part. I liked the kids' part. It was communion. Shh, I know, which as a minister now, I seriously, right? Very confusing. Do you know why I didn't like it, though? Two reasons. Will, you're right on. Thank you for being my right-hand guy today. It was boring. You know that prayer that we say before communion? I remember sitting there as a kid going, so many words, can't we just have the snack already? All right, so, and they're all laughing because they're thinking the same thing. Number two reason I didn't love communion when I was a kid was because you only got a teeny tiny little piece of bread, and they kept calling it a feast. It's not a feast when it's a teeny tiny little piece of bread. Am I right? Right? If you want a feast, you want a whole meal. So I know maybe, and you guys are all laughing too, that I think that maybe this has been in your head before. Oh no, some people are saying no, it's not been in your head. Well, I'm sorry, I put it in your head. But so something that really has helped me over the many years now, right, that I've kind of been going to church, because I've been going to church since I was little like you guys, was partially to begin to think and in my heart believe that communion was about more than just all of those words, that it was about more than just a little piece of bread, that it was about one of the ways we remember God's story of love for each of us and what we get when we have an opportunity to share communion together is a reminder that Jesus came and loved us so much that his story is part of our story. And his story about his life and his death and his resurrection is a reminder to us that God's love continues in our world and life even today. And it happens all over the world. So come here, stand up. Why we're here. So this morning, we're celebrating World Communion Sunday as a reminder that God's love is for the whole entire world. So, you guys get a first? Come over here. So, we have different breads from all over the world. We have tortillas from Guatemala. This is a bread. Now smell it. From Jamaica. Can you smell it? Make it. I bet you know this bread, don't you? Oh, so much goodness. I bet you have tried this before. Just a guess. You smell it? And we have, this is monk's bread that is made by some monks, well, outside of Rochester. But we call it our Rochester. It does come from Wegmans. That's where they sell it. So that makes it even more Rochester, right? If it came from Wegmans. And we have naan bread as a reminder from Israel, Palestine. Okay, so does anyone have allergies to foods? Because if you do, I just want to make sure. So I'm going to give you a little piece. This is not the piece I dropped on the floor. This piece, you can just touch it if you want. If you want to eat it, you can. If you don't want it, you can stick it back up here. This is bread from Ethiopia, and it has a very different feeling. And it tastes, it does kind of feel like rubber. Yep. Yeah. And there we go. So you can touch it, or you can, you want to touch it? There you go. Touch it. Touch it. All right. The little people up here, who do they belong to? Do we have food allergies? We're okay? All right. Just like to make sure. All right, you want to touch it? You can touch it, take a little piece. And you can eat it if you want. If you put it down on the floor, that's also. So this is from Ethiopia. I love this bread. It is so, so good. But like I said, if you don't want it, you can stick it back up here. So I know, right? And we celebrate all of these different places and all of these different breads. Will you all pray with me? Dear God, thank you for your story of love. Amen. All right, so today's a Fusion Sunday, so that means you all get to sit with your families throughout worship. If you get a little bored, that's okay. Just remember, God's love is for you all. All right? Amen. That's okay. We'll call that good. scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. Now, in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but the worse. For to begin with, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. Indeed, there have to be factions among you, for only so will it become clear who among you are genuine. When you come together, it's not really to eat the Lord's Supper. For when the time comes to eat, each of you goes ahead with your own supper, and one goes hungry, and another becomes drunk. What? Do you not have homes to eat and drink in? Do you show contempt for the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What should I say to you? Should I commend you in this matter? I do not commend you. For I have received from the Lord what I also handed to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, "This is my body that is for you. And do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup also, after saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." What was the world like in the autumn of 1933, the very first World Communion Sunday? 1933 was a dark year during the Great Depression. The storm clouds of hate from the Nazi and fascist regimes hovered all over Europe and threatened the entire world. The prevailing mood was anxiety, fear about economics, fear about politics, and fear about the future. So as a faith response, a group of leaders at Shadyside Presbyterian Church, just down the road in nearby Pittsburgh, sought to do something both real and symbolic, to proclaim that God is God, in spite of politics, economics, how, though, they wondered, might one church counteract the narrative of fear and cynicism of a larger society? How might they succeed in eliminating the walls of separations between Christians? So what the members of Shadyside decided to do in order to make a difference in their little corner of the world was to instigate the very first World Communion Sunday. And from its inception, this day was a day to be set apart, to bring churches together in the service of Christian unity, a day in which everyone might receive the inspiration, share the stories of faith through worship and word and sacrament at the table. Above all, this day is meant to be a day which to know how important the Church of Jesus Christ is and how the stories of each congregation throughout the world, how we are interconnected with one another, So this morning, we celebrate the Feast of Our Lord on World Communion Sunday, and it just seems appropriate to tell the stories of that early Christian community who also shared in this meal. Though, I am pretty sure that if you were to ask the church in Corinth how they would want their story to be remembered, those first six verses I read would not rank high on their list. Now, those last four verses are familiar to us. They're what we call the words of institution. They are, in effect, our story of remembrance and promise of God's story in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And so, one of the good things about the church in Corinth not doing this so well is we know that those words of Jesus shared in the Gospels were passed down to the church in Corinth and others and to us today. Now, the problem for the Corinthians was that those comforting, familiar words of institution, well, they were saying them, but they were not embodying what it really meant to partake in the Lord's Supper. You see, the church in Corinth was really trying to figure out what it meant to integrate their story in a particular place and a particular time with what it means to live out the stories and teachings of Christ. And just in case you missed it, they really weren't doing a good job. Now, it's helpful for us to be able to imagine this time, this place, the context of this story. This letter, really, from their pastor, Paul, to this church. Now, the first churches in Corinth were not quite what our imagination may see with those Colosseum-esque structures, the towering columns out front, and large crowds gathered inside. No, no, no. See, the church would have been 30, maybe 40 people. And they gathered in homes. And not just anyone's home, because the home would need to be large enough, right, to accommodate 30 or 40 people. So it would be one of the more wealthy persons within the community who would host such a gathering. And the focus of their time together would have centered around what all good gatherings focus on: food. And the celebration of the Lord's Supper, as Paul refers to it, would have been part of a larger meal, not just a little snack. There was an elaborate feast, and the wine flowed freely. Now, the trick, I don't know if you all have ever tried to host 30 or 40 people in your homes, there's a trick to that. And to accommodate all of the people, they really integrated the customs of their time, which would have been for a large table in one room. And so they didn't even have, like, high back seats. This is like my dream. They have, like, reclining couches that they sat around the table eating, right? So, but the consequence of that is you can't fit all of those people around one table. So the spillover seating would have been in an atrium of sorts, not really protected from the weather, and the guests would have been sitting on the ground. So Paul points out to them, while this may be a normal cultural practice for the rich to fill their face and to get drunk lounging around, while the least, the poor among them sit on the ground and grow hungry, while this may be a cultural value, this is not a gospel value. And so Paul's wondering, as he writes to them, why are you even partaking in communion? What makes the Lord's Supper, Eucharist, special, distinct from any other common meal? And that's when Paul rehearses and retells the words of institution for them. Oh, those words are a sermon and a story in and among themselves, proclaiming forgiveness and eternal life given by the one who first gave those words to all people. And secondly, remembering and participating in the meal and this liturgy, even if it can sometimes feel long and boring. It's a way to unite the old story, God's story, from the start of creation to ours here today, to unite those stories and imagine a future, the time when Jesus will come again. We become immersed in not only hearing the stories then of God's love, we do indeed become part of that story. And so when the Corinthians tell the story, it becomes their story. They remember it in a way that ties their own lives in this transforming and illuminating way. And so Paul reminds them to celebrate the Lord's Supper. It doesn't marginalize the poor among them. Instead of turning it into an occasion that exhibits social distinctions, the Corinthians need to be reminded what the Eucharist is really for. Remembering Jesus' story and then living into that story until he comes again. So I've been mulling around in my head and asking a few folks, what does it mean for you? When you come to this table, when we celebrate together with God, and it's powerful to hear significance of these meal to folks. You know, because for some, communion is a deep time of personal reflection, centering, space to pause, to take comfort in the saving significance of what Christ did for us. And others have said that communion is important because we need these constant reminders of what Christ has done, and we also need to connect that to who we are today. It's a time for self-examination and a time to reframe. How am I going to live into this story this afternoon, tomorrow, in the months to come? And you know, in both of these scenarios, I appreciate the fact that folks have shared how much they appreciate being able to stay in their pews, pass the elements, and take that centering time. But there are other folks who have said that when we celebrate communion by intention, it is powerful to be completely surrounded by the community. Because for them, really grabbing hold of that bread, being served one-on-one, it's a reminder of God's love and inclusion for us and how we are all literally welcomed to the table. You know, in a recent article, some pastors and professors of theology were actually asked the same question. So why, right, these upstanding religious people, why do they take communion? And one of them wrote that communion is about a connection and embodiment. I take communion to join with my brothers and sisters in Christ across the globe, and then to embrace strangers and persons of other faiths. Communion reminds me that God is present in the ordinary of bread and wine. And communion also inspires me to experience God in sharing meals with family and friends. This morning, we celebrate that we are not just one Presbyterian church in Rochester, New York, but we are part of a larger body of Christians interweaving our stories together to be the living Christ to all whom we meet. And when Jesus broke the bread and shared the cup as the giving of his body and blood, he instructed his followers to do this in remembrance of me. In doing so, Jesus instituted a new way of eating in which all who participate are invited to become immersed in the stories of God's love and become part of that story. So as we share together, I also encourage you to ask yourselves, why do you come to the table? In going from here, how might your life proclaim the stories of God's goodness and love for the world today? Amen. We join our stories. We interweave them. And one of the beautiful ways in which we do that is through the words of the confessions that do interweave from so many generations. And one of the most historic in our tradition are the words of the Apostles' Creed. They are found on page 35 in your hymnal, in case this wasn't a creed you memorized as a wee child. If you would please stand together as we profess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended into hell. And the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. You may be seated. So in the sharing of the prayers today, we are not going to gather the public prayers as we often do. We are going to sing and share in prayer together. If you do have a personal prayer request that you would like me to know about, please find me at the door following worship. I will hold that prayer with you. Or you can also write a little note to me or send me an email. Also, just so your hymnals are ready, okay, I'm going to give you a little bit of heads up. Our Lord's Prayer today is going to be sung. This is on page 464, and this will be call and response. Roy is going to do the leader part, which are the verses. We as the congregation are going to sing the response, which is the Hallowed Be Thy Name. So just you can have your hymnal open and ready. So let us join in a time of prayer together where we will also be singing a few amens. Those are not in your bulletin, but I'm going to get you ready for them. The choir will sing it once through so we hear it. We'll sing it, and then I'll indicate with my hands when we will sing the amens again. So let us pray. And so we are bold, O God, to come to you in a time of prayer, in our hearts naming our joys, our concerns, our happiness, and our fears. As we come to share the richness of your table, we cannot forget the needs of the earth. We cannot take bread and forget those who are hungry. Thank you. take this cup and forget those who are thirsty.
Amen.
We cannot hear your words of peace and forget the world at war. We cannot celebrate a family feast and forget our divisions. We cannot gather around this table and forget those who are suffering. We cannot accept your grace at this table and pretend we were already fine. With all we've experienced the last days, there is so much on our hearts and our minds. So many people, situations, problems, hopes. Signs of brokenness and signs of life. Hear now, loving God, the prayers and petitions we silently name in our hearts. And filled with your Spirit, may we do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with you. Loving you with our entire beings, loving others as ourselves. God, that these are the marks of your kingdom, which we pray for now in singing together the words that Jesus taught. Let us stand together. Be seated as the communion servers make their way forward. Friends, we remember. And we remember. And we remember. And we remember. These words from the Gospel of Luke. We remember that Jesus, on the night of his arrest, shared a meal with his friends. And when the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he said, and divided it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." As he took the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup that is poured out for you. It is the new covenant in my blood." God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Table has been set. Let us come and celebrate this feast together. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Taste the goodness of God's grace." Apart from me, you can do nothing. Friends, taste the sustenance, the nourishment, the love of God for each and every one of us. This meal is a gift to the people of God, as all good things in our life. We are entrusted with God's gifts. And we celebrate together in worship every Sunday the opportunity to give back to God in thanksgiving. So let us do that now as we receive the morning offering. We go out into this world to be God's living story. So live it. Live it in the love of God, in the drenching waters of grace that come from our Lord Jesus Christ, and the power and the courage from the Holy Spirit that it takes to get up and do it again each and every day. Alleluia. Amen.